We believe that this is the inerrant word of the one and only true and living God. It is the only infallible rule for our faith and its practice. So hear now the word of our God from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Oh, you foolish person. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same. But there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For star differs from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. When my grandfather was dying, and I apologize for using that example so much, I was 22 when he passed away. The first time I had actually lost somebody as somebody that kind of knew. My other grandfather had passed away when I was 5. And so you kind of know, but not really. When you lose a grandparent that you have been around for 22 years, gone to for advice, listened to him pester you about how you were not giving enough tender love and care to your car. Like, Papa, it's a rebuilt Chevy Blazer. The speedometer reads 20 miles an hour faster than you're actually driving. But yes, I know I should give it tender love and care and vacuum out the seats and wash it. I know. He died slowly. It was Well, something was going to get him one way or the other. He smoked since he was 16, and so he had emphysema. That was going to get him. But what actually took his life was his cancer. He had had cancer that they got with radiation, and then it came back. When it comes back, it always comes back with a vengeance. And he had, his trip to the hospital that ended up being the end was he had either fallen and broken his hip or had broken his hip and fallen. When you get to that point, it's difficult to tell. And I remember going to see him, and I walked in the room, and my Aunt Melody is sitting next to him singing, "On the resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise, I'll have a new body." And in the midst of my grief and fear, it was not lost on me that that was the hope. And later on, we at the funeral, we sang Beulah Land and other songs about heaven. But what is the actual hope? It is, there is a hope in heaven, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, to live as Christ and to die as gain. I would rather depart and be with Christ. And yet, the hope is our text this evening. Sown in weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise, I'll have a new body. This is something that is so often misunderstood when we talk about the hope that we have, especially in death. I remember years ago, John Piper had an evening of eschatology. You can actually look this up. And his conversation partners were Douglas Wilson, different Douglas Wilson than the one here, Sam Storms, and I forget the other guy's name, but he was a professor at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Douglas Wilson was post-millennial, Sam Storms was amillennial, and the guy from Southern was historic premillennial. But before they even got to those millennial positions, they talked about what's called personal eschatology. Eschatology means doctrine of last things. And Wilson actually made a very good point where he said, when I was a kid, I didn't want to go to heaven because it's just this like really floaty place where everybody's like playing a harp somewhere on a cloud and like you can't play football there. Well, as John Piper said, the hope that we have is not that there will be football in the age to come, but that there will be Jesus in the age to come. But because we believe in the resurrection of the body, probably football. There will probably be football. I, for one, want to finally learn how to actually play golf. It's I cannot do it in this sinful age. It's impossible. But in the age to come where there is no sin, maybe I could actually learn how to do it. I can finally learn how to play baseball because my mother was really cheap and didn't want to pay for Little League. And that's why I'm not in the major leagues. I will go to my grave saying that. But this hope of the resurrection of the dead is the hope that we have. When we mourn those who have departed this life, our hope is not just that we'll see them in heaven, but that they and we will be raised on the last day. And Paul, in our New Testament text this morning, is sort of addressing the scoffers of his day, who, for them, the hope was to escape the body. And they would say, well, with what kind of body do they come when the dead are raised? And so he makes the point that, like, well, it's not going to be a body exactly like this body. There are different kinds of body, right? There's a human body, an animal body, a body of fish. And then when he talks about heavenly bodies, I take that to be like the sun, moon, and stars that he specifically references there. But after sort of making the point that there are different kinds of body, what is the analogy that he zeroes in on? Well, it's that of sowing and reaping. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. And what kind of body will we have when we are raised? Well, the only analogy he can give us is that it'll be like Christ's body. What do we know about Christ's body? Well, we know it was real. That when he appears to the disciples, what does he say? He says, come, touch, see. I'm not a spirit. Do you have any food? I'm hungry. Whether he was actually needing physical sustenance or not, I suppose, is a thing to be debated. But he was able to take food and eat it. He was able to sit with them and talk with them, shake their hands. Do I think we'll be able to walk through walls? Probably not. That was probably something he could do as God. But it was an imperishable body. Right now, our bodies, they decay. They waste away, right? You can see on my beard, this used to be a beautiful red color right here. And it's not anymore. It makes me sad. I was so proud of that. Because we age and decay. But in the age to come, we won't. Because we will have an imperishable body. This is our hope when we are mourning. This is our victory even in death. Because the trumpet will sound one day and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Then shall be accomplished. Then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Right now, we don't have that fulfilled. Right now, when we stand at the graveside, we trust that one day it will be fulfilled. But on that day, we will have victory over death because our Savior has conquered death. And as he has been raised, so shall we be raised. Therefore, did you notice that there was a therefore in this text? When you see a therefore, go back and see what it's there for. Therefore, because Christ has been raised, because we have the hope of resurrection of the dead, therefore, my beloved brothers, which I'm contractually obligated to tell you that that's adelphoi, and adelphoi means both men and women. It includes both. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because we have a hope that is beyond even death itself. We can go about God's work and God's calling in our life, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, because we have this hope that is steadfast, immovable, and unshaking, that one day all who are in Christ shall be raised just as our Savior has been raised from the dead. For Christians, this is the word of the Lord. And thanks be to God. Let us pray.